Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe. Hello, everyone. Join us tonight for another hour of life center style conversation and discussion and learning as we nosh on the current events and trends with a spiritual perspective. You can join in the conversation of our show by calling 646-727-3206. That's 646-727-3206. Or you can go online to the chat area. We'd love to hear from you. So let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight.
Hi, this is Robin Misevich. I'm one of your regular diners at the Transformation Cafe. We thank you for joining us if you are live tonight. Just to remind everybody, if you want to get into the chat room, we do have that activated. And if you have any questions or comments, you want to get in that. Or if you'd like to go ahead and go live onto the switchboard, again, you can call 646-727-3206, and we will just have you come sit at the table and have a kind of come into the whole discussion. And we have Mr. Jamie here tonight. Mr. Jamie, how are you tonight?
Mr. Jamie's excellent.
Mr. Jamie is excellent.
Good.
That's good. That's good. I'm going to tell anybody, just in case we have some new listeners, who you are and what you're about. There we go.
Well, my name is Jamie Trujillo. I'm a friend of Robin's from high school, and I am currently living in Seattle, Washington. I have a tattoo shop called Chromome Tattoo, and I'm a tattoo artist by trade. And I think I hope I make people happy and help them with their psychic armor.
There we go, psychic armor.
That's me.
Yeah, and that's you. And I am Robin Misevich. I am an owner of Flowers for You in Riverside, California, and love to just really talk about nature and the spiritualism of nature and what that's all about. So hopefully we're going to talk about that a little bit tonight. We wanted to really honor the memorial that's going to be happening with 9/11. The show is being gone live here on the 6th of September in 2011, so just a few days away from the memorial. And I actually was online looking at a lot of different things, and in with the tragedy, there was definitely things to be grateful for and to be in awe about, was just how we are able to come from just the worst of conditions and being able to just come through adversity and really with that life spirit, the nation spirit, the world spirit, having that really just coming to a level of really honoring all those who fell and just the level of that. So do you remember that day, Jamie? I'm sure you do on some level.
Of course I do, yes.
There's certain times in your life that you just totally remember that. So could you share just real quick, a little bit about that day and just what you remember?
Well, I remember listening. I always turn the little radio on when I wake up. It was about 6:05 in the morning. Because that's when the news said, and it said a plane had hit the World Trade Center. So I jumped up, and I was still in my underwear, and turned the TV on, and I sat there, watched, and then I saw the second plane hit, like everybody else did, if they were watching at that time. And then we sat around and watched that for quite a while, and watched while it was happening. And then I went to work that day, and there were no planes in the air. And
that was really eerie. Yeah, was that an eerie thing, not having any kind of plane? That was like a couple days
right.
Of not really having anything.
Well,
up in the
that's
of the
first
skies.
Thing they did was not to pull all the planes out, and it was all quiet because we're usually in the flight path. They're pretty active. Other than just, I did notice that almost every station went off the air, or in respect. Or whatever was happening then, or they were showing news, you know, which is pretty unprecedented as well for every, especially commercial stations, you know. Other than it was a nice sunny day, I do believe, and it's hard to believe it's been 10 years. That's what
I know.
Saying.
Isn't it hard to believe it's been 10 years? Yeah.
Yes, and it's hard to believe it's been 10 years.
Well, I was taking my daughters to school at that time of the day, and I just we were just listening to the radio, and you know, after it actually was the second tower, because I hadn't heard about the first one. The news broke in when we were listening to the radio and talked about the second tower going down, and it was so interesting. About I just knew on just an intuitive level that it was just going to totally change the world. And it really did.
Well,
you know, to me, go ahead.
Go ahead. You go ahead.
I was just going to say, to me, the just on looking at a spiritual level, just all those souls willing and able on whatever level to sacrifice, you know, their human body to have, you know, us evolve and move into another level of recognizing how much we are just a global community. Just kind of a wake-up call for everybody. Yeah, so it just, to me, I was really crying out of sadness for just the loss for everybody, but just, it was kind of weird. It was a level of gratitude and sorrow at the same time. It was an interesting experience for me.
Well, you know, we're both old enough to remember when Kennedy got shot, and I think that was
a
defining
moment. Yeah, I remember
Kennedy, too. Mm-hmm. I could barely remember it, but I knew something was happening, and that's when I was about 5 years old. But that was the defining moment, and I think, of the previous generation. And this may be a defining moment for this, you know, the generations of the, the new generations, I imagine. They'll know where they were at.
Yeah, I think so. Well, you know, it's like every generation seems like there's, you know, through history, every so often we've just got this calamity that we have to, you know, look at, and how does it change our lives and change just, you know, the way we look at everything. And
I think in some respect it may have been when the Challenger blew up, when that was in 86.
Mm-hmm.
And now you have this occurrence. And certainly it seems that it kind of changed a lot and changed everything and changed the way we think. Changed the way we travel, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
but,
it's
go ahead.
You know, I don't want to get sidetracked on that. I have a flight story. Maybe next week I'll talk about that when it comes to levels of security. But anyway,
we're going to get ready for that. Yeah,
I went to San Francisco in Ontario, California. The level of security was so much tighter than it was in San Francisco, which really kind of surprised me. But I don't know. It was just very, very interesting. So again, I was looking through some of the different things that were out there. And again, you know, the Transformation Cafe, it really wants to focus on the light. We want to focus on things that transform, things that putting a new light perspective on things, of just a level of great gratitude and appreciation. So I really wanted this to be kind of a message of, you know, how we learned, how we kind of maybe come to a new point of, like, I think one thing that is very much in it is just being in the present moment. I mean, everybody really has, in the last 10 years, there's been so much more of people coming from a new level of the simplicity, you know, the simple things, appreciating what you have, recognizing that, you know, we don't need as much as we used to be able to, you know, just enjoy life and recognize, you know, being out in nature, having, you know, good friends and just a simple good meal in front of you instead of having it being something that has to be this lavish presentation of something. It's very interesting how people really kind of looked at that. I remember a couple of days after that, I was watching Oprah, of course, and one of the specialists that she had on there was a psychologist, and he said, you know, just go out of your way to just make things that are a full comfort for people. And, you know, and I went home that night, and I made everybody's favorite. You know,
comfort.
We had comfort food. It was a total comfort food meal. And, I mean, we had mashed potatoes and macaroni and cheese, and everybody had their favorites on the table. Of course, it was way too much food, but it was just one of those things where we were celebrating life. We were celebrating that we were still here and we could enjoy one another, and that, you know, we wanted to just, you know, it was like a Christmas. It was like a Christmas of just being in that moment in that day and just recognizing what that was about. So
I think
that
they have done quite a bit with I guess where the footprints of the buildings were, they've left. And they have, I believe they've built a whole memorial park there. And they have they're rebuilding some towers. They're not going to be the same, but I think one of them is going to be even taller, in fact. The Freedom Tower, I think it's called.
Yeah, and
they have to park down there, and they're going to be dedicating that, I think, next week, isn't it?
Right, on 9/11, it'll pretty much just be with dignitaries and family members. Any members who have lost family will basically be the only people that will be on the be at that site on that day. And you basically have to have special passes and things like that to be allowed into that area. The day after, they're going to be opening it up to the public. So, and, you know, I actually, if you go to 911memorial.org, that's actually the website, and it has pictures of the architect's renditions. It has, you can actually see live pictures of what it looks like. And it's really neat because they're showing the memorial pictures. So everyone, the waterfall, it has like three levels to it. There's the first level, mm-hmm. and it goes straight into a second level. And then there's this really shallow pool where another level goes in again, which I think was just, it's just, whoever designed it was just really, I'm sure going to that place, it just has so much, you know, energy and love and just memories there, that it's just, it's kind of a cornucopia of just a mixed emotions, I'm sure, depending on who you are and, you know, being back there, if you had to experience it, you know, when it actually was happening. So, but I can remember in years past when they had those shallow pools, and after, like, you know, 2 or 3 hours, once they had opened it up for the memorial, the whole thing was covered with flowers. I remember that
right.
when they were showing it on the news, and I just thought that was so wonderful that you know, this life was celebrating the sacredness of, you know, things that have changed. What's really cool is when you look at the site, there's all these beech trees that have been planted all
they
over the property.
They have planted trees all over the place, yeah.
Yeah, it started in 2005, and the first tree was planted then. And what's really cool is they actually have a website that's called the 9/11 Trees, and there's a picture of the mother tree. There's a mother tree that all of these trees have been sprouted from, and they grow really fast.
Oh, I didn't know that one.
Yeah, I didn't really know that either. The mother tree, she's 150 years old, and she is in, let me look at my notes really quick here. I wrote down. Oh, she's in Whitestone, New York, and it's kind of funny because when you go to look at the picture of her, she's got you can tell she's loved because she's got this picture of she's got like some, like, you know, the nature face. She's got the pan face,
mm-hmm.
that's done in clay that's kind of been put on her bark and things like that, and you can tell she's just from like a family home that she's So she's got all these babies now that are being planted. What's cool about it is that, you know, every time the seeds come out, they're going to take those seeds and plant them more. So it's going to be more and more beech trees. Yeah, it's going to be more and more beech trees. And one of the different characteristics of beech trees are they're large growing. They live a long time. The average height of a beech tree can go up to 100 feet, 100 feet tall. And what's going to be beautiful is they have really dark green leaves in the winter. And in the fall, they're going to be having gold and copper.
Those will be pretty.
It'll be gorgeous. It's going to be gorgeous. Yeah, just imagine this gold in the fall, in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, before they basically goes into winter, it's just going to be really spectacular there, with all of the
speaking of weather.
Yes.
How's your weather down there?
Weather has been hot and muggy.
Oh,
yes, we've been kind of having like a monsoon kind of thing happening here. So it's been
Some high temperatures, though, too, right?
Yeah, we were about 104 today, I think, 4 or 5. It was warm, so
yeah.
I was hiding out.
Oh, you were hiding out. Okay.
I was hiding out, yeah. Whoever invented air conditioning, he was just a really smart man, or he had a wife that let him know it, and she just basically made sure that he invented something, okay, so she could be comfortable. Just spare himself all of that grief. He had to do something to do the invention on that kind of thing, though. But
we finally got a little summer weather in Seattle up in the 80s, so everybody's dying.
Yeah, I heard you guys finally
sunburned.
Got some sun. When we were up in San Francisco this last weekend, we wound up sitting at a restaurant. We were talking to a couple that were from Seattle, and they were saying, "Yeah, our sun finally came out, and we're down here." And of course, it was foggy in San Francisco.
Right.
So they weren't getting the weather that they liked, but you know how that goes. It's like, you know, but hey, they're from Seattle, so I knew they were good people. So there you go.
Ah.
It's all good.
Okay.
Yes. Exactly. But so when I thought it would be interesting to look up the meaning of a birch tree, since it was, you know, they decided to use it for the memorial. And what came up when I searched it was protection, overcoming anger. Isn't that interesting? And it says it includes tolerance, past knowledge, and softening of criticism.
Wow.
I thought those are interesting attributes, you know, symbolisms for a tree like that. So the birch tree comprises about 900 species of both evergreens and deciduous with shrubs, and it's they're used for all the different kinds of stuff. Crispy news for furniture. They're used for furniture and all different kinds of stuff like that. But I just thought it was very interesting that when I was talking about protection and overcoming anger, and then here it's talking about tolerance with softening criticism. Those are both. All those are really really interesting aspects for something like that. Just to kind of think
on a
whispering level, the trees are
like
kind of giving that.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, and when you go into the folklore of, especially when you look in Ireland and Scotland and things like that were really the meaning of stuff like that. And of course, it goes back into Elizabethan language and things like that when flowers and different kinds of things were given symbolic messaging. It's kind of interesting with all that. So I always like to look at stuff like that because I think it's interesting. So that's part of the projects they're doing with the tree project, the 911 trees, that's what it's called. And if anybody's interested in going to that, the web address on that is 911trees.com. So there you go. That's how easy it is to get to that.
Myself being a collector, and I collect paper, so, you know, I have I collected all the newspapers from that time and all the magazines and anything else and the books. And I just have it in a big trunk, and I don't know what I'm going to do with it now. I'm kind of thinking I may donate it to somewhere if they even have something.
Well, you know
like
what?
That
probably would be a really cool thing. Actually, if you go to the memorial site, again, that's 911memorial.org, they're listing all the different major cities in the United States that are doing some kind of memorial service or some kind of I was looking in Los Angeles, and they're going to be doing – there's actually a partial garden. Let's see where that's at. Let me look at that again. But they're going to be putting a garden out there for the memorial. So it's very, very interesting to see, you know, all these different things for the memorials and things like that that they're putting together. So it's very, very cool.
I don't know what I'm going to do with it all, but maybe I'll, you know, it just seems like somebody will study it somewhere, although they can maybe I'll do something with it. Who knows? But
I'm sure Seattle's probably got some kind of memorial service that they're doing
right.
as well. I know
that they have a part, like a beam from the building, one of the buildings that fell. They have that on display. And then there were some firefighters that were taking their Harleys to New York for some giant to go pay respects. And I guess they're going to be some giant firefighters on motorcycles are all going to drive over that direction. But they've been leaving from here.
That's cool.
It's some big national thing you've been planning for a couple of years.
Yeah. So the memorial stair climb, they're going to be the Seattle firefighters are going to be having a memorial stair climb that they're going to do. And I guess proceeds to that will go back to families that are in need. There's also going to be a remembering of the 9/11 at the Tacoma Firefighters Memorial that's going to be in Tacoma. And then in Seattle itself, there's at the Mozart's, the Holy Rosary Church, they're going to be having a service. There's also a moment of silence that's supposed to happen at 5:30 in the morning.
So I think a lot of people will be silent at 5:30 in the morning.
Yeah,
it might be
kind
of a little
early.
Well,
that'll work out good. I think they're listing that as specific, Pacific Standard Time though. So other people, that'll be like what? That'll be, 10, 11, 12. So that means, New York, that'll mean at noon, actually 12:30. 12:30, they'll be doing a moment of silence at 12:30.
But the thing, and it still is such a, I can't believe it's been 10 years, and 10 years like that quick. It seems like it was quick, or it was just yesterday. But, that's the way time flies, I guess.
Yeah. Well, in some ways, being grateful for that, on a level, it didn't feel like it had been dragged too much. So when you go to the 9/11 memorial, too, there's a really neat section on there that has a bunch of oral histories of different people that were involved in the just all different aspects of that. One that I thought was really interesting was her name is Tanya Hogard. And she's actually was a stewardess on the airlines, and she decided to, because she's on 2 weeks and then off 2 weeks, she took 2 weeks every 2 weeks when she was off. She would actually go to that area around Ground Zero, and she would dedicate her time to helping. And they wound up putting in her in different break areas where when the guys were, you know, constantly working, you know, to help with, you know,
the
moving.
Right,
the first responders. So she was there just kind of helping to assist any way she could. And remember, all the kids started sending pictures and thank you letters and just all kinds of stuff. And they were sending them to all these firehouses. So these guys were constantly getting all this new mail of kids sending thank yous about different stuff. And she said that she remembered she was helping one day, and she watched one of the fire guys. You know, he was going back out again, and they had purposely put a couple up on the inside of the door, so when the guys were going back out, they could see it. And the guy stopped and he read it, one of these letters from this little kid, and he laughed, and then he read it again, and he had this big smile on his face when he went back out the door.
A lot of those first responders, especially the ones that worked in all the dirt debris fields and the dirt and the dust, they're having problems as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of all kinds of
cancers and things like that that are
pulverized concrete and office furniture and machines and
all different
who knows
kinds
what.
Of things that they've had to deal with. Yeah, because you know, a lot of them didn't have, you know, any kind of covers for their mouths for breathing apparatuses and stuff like that. They were just out there to do what they could do to move stuff. But the cool thing is, a lot of those letters and things like that are actually at the memorial. A lot of the wallpaper and things like that. It's just all these messages from all these kids from really all over the world that got sent to these firehouses. So that's a part of the memorial as well, besides, you know, there's a whole backlit area that's all the pictures of everybody. So there's pictures of people. There's the loving messages from these kids. There's, you know, these oral histories of all different aspects of it and things like that that are there too. So one thing I thought was interesting too is they were kind of showing how lives were being changed. And there's this guy named Ney Melo, and he's second generation Italian that came. And he said that he was working right across the street when this happened. And he winded up deciding that he needed to do something to help himself so he could go ahead and be able to deal with all this stuff. And what happened was he started doing the tango.
Oh.
So he learned the tango, and he was able to go ahead and have it where he was being able to. Now he's a professional tango teacher. He goes all over the world. And he was, like, wondering about that. And he's like, well, you know, he just kind of in awe about the fact that he had, you know, never thought of himself as even doing something like that. And here he was, you know, being able to go off and be able to do stuff like that. So now he's a professional tango dancer 10 years later because he got into it just as something to kind of get his mind off of the fact of all that he had seen. So he has a new passion for life, and he's going to be marrying his tango partner.
Wow.
So, you know, it's just, you know, he looked at all that, and he just, his life's too short, and he just thought, I'm going to do this instead. I'm not going to sit behind a desk all my life being an accountant. I'm going to dance. So now he gets people passionate about tango.
And he's in good shape too, I bet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's in very good shape, and actually, his fiance and partner, they're expecting a baby. So life is good. So it's very cool. Very cool. So, you know, just like, you know, taking those things in life that are adversities, and what do we do with them? You know, that's the bottom line with this stuff. Being able to make
it a
positive thing that really helps the world.
Try to be positive. You know, that's the only thing anymore.
Yeah. Well, always. Always.
Right.
You know. That's one thing with the Transformation Cafe. We're always looking at, you know, how can we look at this from a positive perspective, knowing that it's changing and it's, you know, ultimately for the good. And, you know, people will say, how could you say that? On the level that, you know, if we learn the lesson and do things where we can really love and respect and honor people for, you know, how they contribute to our lives, nothing's lost. Nothing's lost in the long run. You know, they're all honored and just like these beach trees. They thrive and grow tall and shade everyone and protect everyone and just have this thing of beauty that they live on through the trees. So that's a wonderful thing. This is very, very cool. So, anyway, it's just, it's a hard subject, but yet it's a subject that really can be a thing of respect and just passion and really enjoying things for what they are. So I think that's a good thing. So, and looking at it from that. So let's see what else they've got going on. I was curious to go back to L.A. and see what that was all about, because Seattle's got quite a few things going on.